Stephen, how are you?
I'm good, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing very well. It's great to talk with you. Stephen is a professor of law at American University's Washington College of Law. And when we talk about the Supreme Court, we love to give Stephen a call. Stephen, Justice Kagan sat on the bench for the first time. Must have been a memorable experience for her.
I'm sure it was. And, you know, I think we saw yesterday that she's already making at least something of an impact on the court. You know, she sort of jumped right into oral argument in the first couple of cases. I think, you know, she even had a moment where Justice Kennedy asked one of the lawyers to, you know, respond to a question she had asked a few minutes ago. So overall, I think a pretty good first day for the court's newest member.
Well, there are a lot of interesting topics that the court is going to be taking a look at. I guess the most provocative is the anti-gay protest at military funerals.
Yeah, this is a case called Snyder versus Phelps. The court's set to hear it tomorrow, and it really raises a question of just how far the First Amendment goes in protecting speech that I think most of us would agree is rather hateful. So here you have, you know, the Westboro Baptist Church. They go around protesting military funerals, and basically they try to shout down, you know, the services at the funerals for service members who were killed in Iraq or Afghanistan. The family of one of the service members whose funeral was protested sued under Virginia state law, basically claiming that the Westboro Baptist Church protesters had invaded their privacy, had caused them emotional distress, and they won in the trial court. They won $2 million in damages, only to have that thrown out on appeal because the Court of Appeals said that the protesters had an absolute First Amendment right to protest. So we have this sort of conflict between, you know, the right of family members to basically grieve for their lost loved ones in private, and the right of, you know, individuals from the Westboro Baptist Church to protest the funeral, and that's what the court's going to decide, which yields.
So we have this issue where you have someone coming to a closed private affair. Does it have to do whether that's public or private property, or is basically, if this is thrown out from the Supreme Court, these people would be able to walk into any place be able to say what they wanted to say?
Well, I think the problem is that, you know, even private cemeteries are technically quasi-public for First Amendment purposes, because they're open to the public, because most people can go there. So, you know, I think one of the real questions for the Supreme Court in this case is how to balance the sort of openness of cemeteries, of other public places, with the very private nature of the ceremonies that take place there. You know, I think the court would normally, in other circumstances, be less inclined to protect those at the funeral. But here, they really are a captive audience. They can't exactly relocate and have the services elsewhere. And I think that's going to weigh heavily on the court's mind as they figure out what to do in this case.
And, Stephen, the court is also going to hear a case involving California law banning the sale of violent video games to children.
Yeah, I mean, I think after the funeral picketing case, this is one of the more important First Amendment cases on the court's docket for the upcoming term. California has basically made it illegal to sell violent video games to children, either directly or even online. And it's a really sort of hard question about censorship. What makes a video game violent? If California can ban the sale of violent video games, does that mean they can also ban the sale of violent books? That they can prohibit children from going to certain kinds of movies, that they can prohibit children from watching things on TV. So, you know, I think we see a very, very serious issue and a test case for future state attempts to regulate and constrain what minors can see and what they can buy.
We're talking with Stephen Vladek, who is a professor at law at American University's Washington College of Law. We're talking about some of the cases that the U.S. Supreme Court will be hearing. Another case involves a different aspect of the First Amendment, the government's relationship to religion, as the justices will decide whether Arizona's income tax credit scholarship program in essence detects or direct state money to religious schools, and we'll find out if that's a violation of constitutional separation of church and state.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this issue before the court a couple of times in the last decade about just how far states can go to give various kinds of monetary incentives to parents who want to send their children to private religious schools. You know, the Arizona case may actually collapse before the Supreme Court. There's a serious question about a procedural issue. So I'm not sure that this case is actually going to end up resulting in an important judgment. But, you know, sometime in the next few years, I think it's likely that the current court is going to have to deal with where the line is between permissible state incentives and states that cross the line by basically funding some parents' choice to send their kids to religious schools.
A second Arizona law imposing penalties on businesses that hire illegal immigrants is also before the court this term. At issue is whether the state's law intrudes into an area of immigration that really is the federal government's responsibility.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people see this case, which is called Chamber of Commerce versus Whiting, as really just a warm-up for the real fight over SB 1070, the more controversial Arizona immigration law. The law at issue here is a much narrower regulation. It requires Arizona employers to run background checks on anyone they suspect is an undocumented immigrant, and it subjects those employers to potentially losing their license if they knowingly employ undocumented immigrants as workers. The reason why that law might be preempted is because there's a federal statute that actually bars states from regulating employment based upon immigration status that leaves it to the federal government.